You're joking, right?
Well, I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to be optimistic about that.
Well, I guess you're too young to be a little pessimistic like me.
The fucking things I see out there, people are stupid.
Viva Cuba!
Oh my God.
That's the theme of this episode.
Live the life of Cubans?
I mean, that's like their slogan, like how we say, like, God bless America.
What is their slogan?
Viva Cuba.
Okay. Why do they call Cuba not Cuba?
That's how they pronounce it.
Okay.
I don't know. Spanish, it's Cuba.
So we were in
Cuba. And we say Cuba.
We were in Cuba.
Don't say it.
And it was a great time, was it not?
So we got back 2 days ago. Our thoughts have marinated. We thought we'd share them with you all.
No, yesterday we got back.
Yeah. Yeah, wow, yesterday morning.
Yesterday afternoon, holy shit. Actually.
Oh my, well, yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, it seems like a long time. Even the 3 to 4 day trip seems like
a long time. Oh, it was a long trip. It was a bit exhausting.
But as much as I'm not into communism, I will tell people you should go to Cuba.
Well, you're like kind of a communist sympathizer after the last few days.
No, I'm not a sympathizer. I'm just saying I know it doesn't work in Cuba. You know it doesn't work. You could see it.
Right. Well, let's talk about that.
But I'm going to talk in general terms, and then we're going to get deeper.
Okay.
It was a great trip. It was a great wedding. We loved our friend's wedding.
Yes, we went for a wedding.
Right.
Actually.
And it was really interesting place. And 45 minutes from the house, so there's an easy plane flight. So if you come from California, I wouldn't make a special trip to Cuba.
100%. Right.
But from Miami, it's fucking great going to Cuba. I'm just teasing you.
It was extremely interesting. As a country, one of the more interesting places I've ever been.
And very hard to explain.
Yeah, it's very hard to explain. So let's try to explain it.
We also, when we're having dinner, we figured out that we've been in so many different, like I've been to 36 countries. You've been to like 32. It's a lot.
No, 20, well, we 26 or something.
Not bad. The age of 27 years, almost 28. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Cuba.
So for those who don't know, Cuba is a communist country, one of five in the world.
And if you don't really know that, you really should not be listening to podcasts. Not to you.
I don't think a lot of people, I think people don't really think about Cuba and like, don't really think about what communism means for the country. Or like, I don't think we did either. Like the fact that they didn't even have certain foods. I don't think we really thought about that.
I don't really feel the communism because we don't know what communism is. It just was like a poor country. Does that make sense?
But yeah, but it's more than that. Like, because you go to China, and not only do they have everything, but they have more than we have in terms of like access to shit.
And that's communist country.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what I'm saying. It's a poor country.
Because of the communism, yes.
Because of what transpired.
Right. So Cuba.
Not necessarily because of the communist component. Because yes. China is. It's because I think the issues with America and the...
Right. That's more of the issue. That's a bigger thing too, which is also a
because
whole other
China
element.
China is communistic, but they're prospering. Economically.
Yeah.
All right. So we get so
it's a communist country, one of five in the world.
Now let me just write. Now let's just
I've been to two out of five.
Okay.
Communist countries. I gotta hit all of them.
Are you flexing? So here's what I want
to
say.
Not even really a flex. Communist countries. Yeah.
So what originally you hear all this propaganda that it's unsafe, you can't go.
Right. That's the biggest one. How can you even go to Cuba? You're American. That's the biggest thing.
It was a whole thing about this propaganda. So
you didn't want to go at first because you were
100%
worried.
100% and concerned.
Right.
And worried about safety and worried about getting there and what do we do if we have an issue there?
Right.
Being which stranded, quote unquote. Which we never had that problem. So that part, so because we don't know how that would be.
That's true.
All right. So we go.
Because the thing is, for those who don't know also, people might not know this, like because America has placed a...
Is that a new t-shirt?
No. No.
Earth tone, everyone. Just so you know, earth tone.
Got yeah. It. White, everyone, white.
Right.
You're on the earth tone train too.
Choo choo.
Half of what you wear is earth tones now.
Yes.
So you're hopping on the bandwagon.
Yes.
Okay. So Cuba, after the communist revolution, well, first, which this is important to talk about because it's part of what makes Cuba so interesting is like before the communist revolution, which was in 1959, Cuba was a wealthy, prosperous, capitalistic country that was very buddy-buddy with America.
In the 50s.
From the 20s to the 50s, they were extremely wealthy, extremely extravagant, high-end, luxurious country that the wealthy in all the world would come there to play, to party, to socialize. It was, that was what Havana was known as. It was like the roaring, it was like the roaring 20s epitome of a city. And the government was very buddy-buddy with America because they were super capitalistic. We were, they were right at our southern border. They were making a lot of money because of us. We were making a lot of money because of them. And, but however, with that came a very corrupt government. Like their government was making so much money and they had so much problems with the people and corruption and whatever, whatever, you know, people feel different ways about this, that long story short, the people through Fidel Castro led a communist uprising, quote unquote, for the people and took over Cuba and kicked out all those pro-Western, pro-capitalistic people. Sometimes kicked them out, sometimes just murdered them, straight up just killed them. So then since that happened, and then there was the whole JFK Cuban Missile Crisis, blah, 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 with the Cold War and the Soviet Union, and then we embargoed Cuba. So the U.S. government said, we will not only will we do no trade with Cuba whatsoever, it is fully illegal to do as Americans, and we also are extending that to the world. So if any world partners want to do trade with Cuba, we are at war with them. They are our enemy. So if you're doing trade with them, you are our enemy. We will either stop our trade with you, we will impose sanctions or fines. And obviously the U.S. trade market is way more valuable than the Cuban trade market. So the whole world agreed. So since the 60s, Cuba has been embargoed by the U.S. Up until today, it still is. So not only is it illegal to do trade, but then that also means American businesses are not allowed to conduct business in Cuba, which then you don't even think about the ramifications of that. But like our credit cards don't work there. U.S. banks are U.S. companies, and therefore they are not allowed to do banking in Cuba. So our credit cards are just pieces of plastic. Our phones, like Verizon, there's no Verizon data roaming plan for Cuba. Like that doesn't exist. So going there as an American, we can't, Americans can't stay in hotels, Cuban hotels. There were a lot of other things that like as Americans, we just, it's not easy for us to be tourists.
And we had to pay cash, which was not, you run out of cash.
Because our credit cards don't work. Right. So whatever cash you come into the country with, that's the money you got to spend. Like if you run out of that, you got no money. You can't go to the ATM. You can't go to a partner bank and take money out. Like it doesn't happen.
It was very interesting. And then so because it has that, because the Soviet one was in charge at one point of Cuba.
So when America, we were super good allies with the previous government before the revolution. When the revolution happened and we pulled out, they became an enemy of us. And that was during the Cold War. We were fighting communism across the world. And the biggest threat was the Soviet Union. You know, in the 80s, there was the Red Scare, all that shit. And the Soviet Union, because they were also a communist country, were like buddy-buddy with Cuba. And so they were like biggest diplomatic partners, which made it even a bigger deal for us. Now it's like, okay, not only is there a communist country that's anti-American 90 miles away from our border, but now they are best friends with our biggest enemy superpower on the world stage. So that was a big deal in the 60s and 70s, like right, so a huge deal.
So all the writings and everything's in Russian, mm-hmm. and half the vehicles are all the Russian vehicles from the 1950s.
Yeah, there's a huge,
you found that very Soviet, interesting, right?
Yeah, there's a huge Soviet influence on Cuba because pre-revolution, the country was, like I said, we were their biggest ally. So all of their imports were American and all of their infrastructure was built with the help of America, right? So pre-war, it was all 1920s through 1950s style, American style. So it was the cars were all 20s through 50s American cars. The buildings were all extravagant 20s through 50s building. You know, when you go to New York and you look at like a building that's built now versus a building that like the Empire State Building, which was built in the 20s, the one in the 20s was so much more extravagant and it had all this detailing. So all the buildings in Cuba that were built before the revolution are like that. But then when the revolution happened, their next biggest ally now, the Soviet Union, was their new person, right? So now all the cars that they needed were Soviet cars, which were so crazy to see.
There were loads of them. So it was half the vehicles are old 1950s American Ford, Chevrolet,
huge sedans, Caddies,
Pontiacs. Literally what you think from like Happy Days or the Grease era in 1950s.
And it's not like these are fake cars. These were those cars that were brought from the 50s.
That still are working. They make them
work. They're the main car. Right. It's not like they're like fun sideshow cars.
It's every car, literally every car is 1950s American car or a Russian.
Or a Soviet car from the 60s or 70s.
Right. Completely different.
Which I never thought in my life I'd be driven in a Soviet-built car.
And we did.
Multiple times.
And these cars are fucking old, are they not? Like, oh my God. You feel the springs in the seats.
But that's the road. Cool, though.
It was wild being in both sets of cars, would you not? I mean, you would not agree? But that's
what's so interesting about Cuba. Like, it's such a contrast. You know, like, there's the capitalist, colorful, big, bright American car. And then
in the turquoise, the pinks, the red, the yellows, the
driving
green.
Next to a little black
square
stripped down to the bare essential Soviet Russian car. And they're driving side by side on the road like nothing. Yep. It's so bizarre.
How cool in the wedding did the convoy of like the 1950s cars?
Yeah, we had like 30 of them.
Right. So we're going from the hotel with the resort area to the old DuPont estate, which has been commandeered by the Cuban government. And it's now a country club and a golf course. And our friend, Weck, who had the wedding, he must have 50 1950s cars, all convertibles, all the top down, in all these cool reds and pinks and yellows and turquoise, taking every guest, there was about 100 of us, taking us from there, from the resort to the wedding venue. And it was a great convoy. Wasn't that cool?
It was very cool. Yeah. So
let's talk about the food.
Okay. So the thing is, like,
that's enough about the food.
It's
the worst food.
It's a communist country that has been embargoed by the world, right? So like in America, and I don't think people realize this, like, so we live in South Florida. The only things that we really can grow in South Florida are like oranges and bananas. So if you want broccoli,
we have sugarcane.
Okay, sugarcane, right? But when do you eat sugarcane?
That's where sugar comes from.
Sure, but
I'm just saying
for like produce.
Right.
If you want apples. Mangoes we could grow here. But like if you want, I'm talking like apples, lettuce, cabbage, broccoli. Like
the green hardy ones.
Yeah, those don't really grow in Florida. So luckily we as a country, we have so many different climates in this country, but we're all the same country. So we can all trade with each other, right? So apples are grown in Washington. And we grow oranges, so we swap. They buy our oranges, we buy their apples, right? And then things that we don't grow here, and even stuff that we grow here, we still have so many people that we import. Like I think it's like 70% of beef that's consumed in America is grown outside of America. We import it from China, Uruguay, Argentina, like India. We import, I think the majority of the beef that's eaten in the world is actually grown in India.
Did not know
and then
that.
It's exported out to the world.
And who's here?
Burke has friends coming over to watch a movie.
Okay, go ahead.
And like, we don't even think about that because it's just the food supply chain that we live in. And so it's all interconnected with the world. We get butter from France and all that shit. Whatever.
Germany. We know we're going to go through that whole guy from the rum.
So, I mean, that's an inside joke that no one would know.
Nor do they need to know everything.
Cuba doesn't have that. So like, because they've been embargoed, the only things that they really have access to are a little bit of Chinese and Russian imports because like those countries don't really listen to the U.S. embargo or whatever they have on the island. And it's an island. It's a huge island, but it's a tropical island. So they can't grow lettuce. You know, lettuce needs cold weather to grow. They can't do that. They can't so there are certain things that they just don't have. And then there's such a poor country that even the things that they can grow, it's just they don't have enough facilities to facilitate growing all this stuff for the amount of people. So
basically the food sucked is what you're trying to get at.
Well, they have no, like, you don't realize, they don't have ketchup. There's no Tabasco. There's no Coca-Cola. Oh, right. I know you got it, but aren't we doing this for people listening?
We are, but I'm 10 minutes talking about the food sucks.
Okay. The food sucks. I think people would probably be more interested in understanding when you just say the food sucks, why, but
Okay.
And if you don't know, if you think that we covered it, then we covered it. That's fine.
I think you covered it, buddy. Okay. Boy.
All right.
It was very bland, right? Because they have no spices. And
well, why did they not have spices, Dad? That's what I was trying to explain.
You explained it. I promise. I'm sorry, okay. Bronny. I'm just letting you know. And talk about the buildings. I mean,
you talk about the buildings.
No, you talk. You're gonna
what buildings? What do you mean?
Walk in the streets. How the difference? How like it looked like a third world country, but yet we felt very safe. And how there's no guns and no drugs. Well, you're,
there's more. Okay, yeah.
I know. I'm talking about multiple things, but it was interesting. Like the city to see. First of all, we did feel safe. Did you not?
Definitely.
You felt safe, right? And we learned from our tour guide that the government has zero tolerance for drugs and guns. So the crime there is very, very low. First of all, I don't know who they're stealing from. Nobody has fucking money. I mean, really, who are they stealing
right,
from?
Right, there's nothing to... So we also talked with locals and we're like discovering... We were just like inquiring about how much money people make and what they have access to,
like,
and stuff.
Right, like a police officer makes equivalent of 50 American dollars a month. A month.
And that's the highest paying job.
Highest paying jobs, but yeah, but they say taxi drivers make more with tips and things like that.
That's the highest paying salary.
Right.
How about that?
Right.
But the average person makes $20 a month, the US. A job, like a good job that you have.
I can't even imagine that.
And then a lot of people don't have jobs because they're like, you know, do things on the side and make money.
And or they figure they're getting paid so little, they'd rather not work because they're still going to get what they need from the government.
Well, because the government provides them with the basic essentials for free. Healthcare, basic food.
Education.
Like you have like a booklet each month that like you get.
Food stamp, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like that.
Right.
Bronny, I just was trying to thought. What was I just going to say? We're talking about.
But the thing that's so interesting about the buildings is like you're walking through the city and the city of Havana was built in the 20s and through 50s. When they had extreme amounts of wealth. And so you walk around and you see the foundation, like you could, if you look through if you look through the rubble and the facade, picture like, oh wow, this was once prettier than Paris. Like the buildings are extravagant and beautiful. Every single one, even the shitty street that we were staying on, which was like, real deal Cuba. It was safe, but it was like real Cuba. Every single building, every single one was a beautiful high-rise mansion from the 20s.
It's so run down. It's so hard to explain because it's you got to visually see it. Like we've been all over the world and we liked this trip. We were very intrigued by it. And it's so run down. There's garbage in the street. I mean, literally.
I think that was the, for what that country is, I thought the city was immaculate. For what it could be.
Really?
There was barely garbage. Dad, for it being how poor it is, like in China, which has extreme amounts of money, the cities were way dirtier.
China, really?
Like the city of Havana looks dirty because the buildings are crumbling. And the paint's all chipping off. But the actual streets themselves, there was only that one building that we saw that was piled with garbage. Most cities in the world, when I was in Rome, every street corner was mounds of garbage. Piles and piles of garbage. Every single street corner. We saw that in Havana.
I think
it was how dirty,
extremely dilapidated.
Right, but I don't think it was dirty. The streets. I know.
Okay.
For what it could be, they have no money.
The way people live, though, is that not crazy?
Well, you have to explain what you're saying.
So you see that it's almost like they're homeless living in like a room.
I mean, that's basically, yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
I mean, if you're making $20 a month, Dad, how could you ever,
you know, it's
even
so,
if you pulled it together, because they all live with their families because they can't afford to not.
It's so fucking bizarre.
If we lived all five of us, okay, that's $100 a month. And then we have to feed five people on that? Can't do that.
Bronny, it is mind-boggling, and again, hard to really describe. So on one hand, great trip, easy, 45 minutes from the house, glad we went. Like, we had a really good time, did we not? I mean, really good time. But on the other hand, it's so bizarre to see that in today's day and age, 2024, in a week from now, that people live like that, and what a hard life. I mean, a hard fucking life.
Yeah, but then the crazy thing is they were the nicest, friendliest, most outgoing people that I've...
But they have their share of problems. I don't think they're all happy. I mean...
No, but every single person in the world is not... has issues.
Right.
But, like, that's... I'm not saying, oh, these people are truly content. We all need to be like Cubans because they have no worries.
Cubans.
But they are objectively friendly, every single one of them, when they don't have to be at all.
No, they were very nice. I got to tell you, I am 100% going back to Cuba.
If you go to anywhere in Europe, people are not mean, but they don't care about you.
I think it's a simpleton, and they have, I mean, I don't. I looked at it was a hard fucking life. These people have like really, really, really hard life. Like it's sort of sad. And then we go back to our life, our nice cars, and you go back to, you know, opulence and this and that. Oh shit! What was it? Can't pause.
No.
Hey Santa.
Hi.
Hey. So real quickly, the barbecue. Where are the grids for the in the barbecue and the manual and everything else like that?
I put it in the cabana.
Oh, so you have all that stuff?
I didn't want to put like inside, unless you know, until it gets all installed. But I have everything. And
great.
It all in, like,
no problem. Like, say no more. Appreciate it. All right. Thanks.
All right.
Bye. Sorry.
All right.
So, what you feel sort of bad, like you know, you go from you. I mean, it's so. I know I'm not really making saying so clearly, but. You see these hard lives. It's crazy. I mean, it's fucking crazy how these people live in today's day and age. And we go back to our life and it's so different. Like it.
And the fact that we're 100 miles away.
It was so close. Maybe it was shocking because like when I went to Peru many years ago, you're right. There was much more dirt, mounds and piles of trash in the streets.
And Peru has way more money than Cuba.
But there was some.
Peru is a thriving society.
Yeah, it was.
They have huge cities.
I liked it, Cuba, because I did feel safe. The people were very nice. The food was terrible, but we had some restaurants that were decent, but still just mediocre at best. I liked the closeness. I liked the fact that you felt. I know it's Caribbean style, but I did not feel.
Well, it felt European.
Correct. I felt nothing Caribbean about it. I felt more European, like you thought you could have been parts of Spain.
Yeah, but it felt like it was like a southern Spanish island almost.
But it was wild to see that there are some hotels that are beautiful and clean. You see across the capital, they're building that huge hotel, which you wonder how long that's going to take based on that bureaucracy because it was humongous. And then you see like right across the street or most of the parts so dilapidated. I mean, the streets are dilapidated. The cars.
I disagree. I think that it's the opposite. A communist country doesn't have bureaucracy. Bureaucracy is the result of democracy where things have checks and balances. So things have to be signed off.
Okay, I mean...
A communist government, there's no signing off. The person on top says one thing gets done and everyone has to do it.
Maybe bureaucracy was the wrong term. I meant that I think it's going to take a long time to get it done. And there is, you know...
But I think the Chinese are the ones that are coming in and building all their infrastructure for them. I don't think they build their own infrastructure.
That would probably be better for them.
Someone said...
He did say that, right?
Yeah.
He said it would probably be Chinese coming.
He said it's usually Chinese engineers that come in and build it.
He also talked about something very interesting because...
Our tour guide is what we're talking about.
Even though it's... Who's a great tour guide, by the way. Even though it's communism or a communistic country, it shows you that capitalism still is needed and how that thrives because they're doing a lot on the black market. Which is very interesting.
Well, he said there's a huge underground to the city of a black market.
Right, because they need more money. And then you'll do various different things, which a lot of it's illegal. But yet capitalism is what really prevails because they can't live under this communistic structure.
Well, you can't get the basic needs met. So like the government gives you that booklet each month for food and it's 7 pounds of rice. But a family is going to go through way more than that. So eventually you're going to have to go get more rice. And so the way you do that is by like finding someone who has rice and paying them for it at a markup,
right, which is capitalism. Stores. They had stores that had sold items at a higher price if you can afford it.
Yeah, which is just capitalism.
Correct, which
so
is
it,
interesting.
So it was interesting to see that capitalism it naturally evolves to fill in the gaps. that are met, you know, because it's human nature.
It'll be interesting to see where Cuba is in 20 years from now.
Well, it'll be nowhere as long as the embargo stays. That's the other thing too, is like at the end of the day, you're there and you're looking around and you're like, these people aren't our enemy anymore. They were in the 60s. Like, they had nuclear weapons stationed on the island pointed towards Miami. That's an enemy. But they're not that anymore. We were just there.
They're like, not there.
They not only were we felt safe there, every time people heard we were Americans, they were friendly to us. They actively were enjoying Americans. So the embargo, you just questioning, like, but why? And you're saying the poverty that these people live in, like, they're basically homeless, but living in houses.
Not even houses, you wouldn't live in it.
But the reason that exists is because, like, it's directly our fault, which is hard to reconcile with. It is. It's because China's a communist. It's not like the threat of communism. China's a communist country. They're thriving. Vietnam's a communist country. They're thriving.
No, I don't disagree.
Like, why specifically do we still have this embargo just for Cuba? And it's like, the kids that we saw living in this poverty, like, the only reason they're in such dire poverty, I'm not saying lifting the embargo would fix all the issues at all, but it certainly would alleviate a lot of the problems.
Do you know how much money, if they allowed infrastructure to come in, you know how many people make so much money?
Right, like, what if American capitalists came in and were like, we're going to build hotels, we're going to build condos,
they make so much money.
We're going to redo all these old dilapidated buildings. We're going to redo them and we're going to, but then the local people would probably be kicked out, which is another issue.
100% they would be. Where would they go?
Right, that's another issue.
They can't afford it. Where would they go? No, that'd be a major fucking problem. But the money that can be made from Americans doing this, and it's
sad to see, because you look around and you're like, this was once a beautiful, thriving city. And you can see,
you ever watch these movies where, like, it goes back in time when they initiate? That's what you picture. You could see that shit happening.
You could really, like, sit there and visualize, not with not that much effort,
no, easily,
the past, what it was like.
100%. When we were taking those cars out of the resort, going and through that Art Deco sign, leaving the entrance, the exit,
you felt like you were in the 40s.
You knew that if you went back in time, that with 40s, 50s, what it was like.
And it was, right, you were like, it's not that different from what this
looks exactly
like.
What we did.
Yeah. And so it's a shame, because you could see what it once was, and then you see what it is now. And it's a direct result of, like, a few different things. And it's just like
America being in power.
But our tour guide, we went to the Cuban, like, the Revolution Museum, and we saw they had Fidel's yacht in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And the history goes, like, Fidel was kicked out of the country by the capitalistic government. And then he went to Mexico and he sailed back on this yacht. And once he landed back, that was when he garnered enough support and officially overthrew the government and started the revolution. He said that everyone in Havana looks at that yacht and they say, if that yacht sank, Havana would look like Miami. So they're all aware of it too. And it's just so sad seeing that. Like, they're aware that this has fucked their country up. And
there's really changed their dime.
Yeah. And there's no, like, coming back from that.
There's no way to come out of
that. That city was stopped in its tracks in history.
It's shocking to see. It's like almost like a fossil.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. It was stopped in its tracks.
You know, so if you want good Cuban food or Cuban coffee, do not go to Cuba.
Yeah, it's true. There was definitely some good food in Havana, but you're not going, if you want Cuban culture and in luxury, weigh in with the food, come to Miami. For real. We have way better Cuban food.
And better coffee.
Way better Cuban coffee and way better infrastructure. But if you want to experience everything that we've talked about, Havana is definitely worth going.
And you get nice Airbnbs, right? No problem.
Yeah. No, there definitely is luxury there, but it's not America. And then coming home yesterday, I was like, we landed in Miami. Bryce and I were driving in a modern car to our modern apartment. And I was like, God fucking bless America.
Oh my God.
This is the best country.
You work hard, you get the shit. I got to tell you, it was fucking Cuba. It's interesting.
And people, like, we were, there was one taxi driver that just me, Bryce, and Burke got, and he was saying that his wife is moving, already got her papers, and is moving to Miami in like 2 weeks, And then he plans on coming 3 months later. Like, I guess you have to like wait 3 months, whatever the reasons are. And he's a software engineer, a computer engineer in Cuba. And he was like, yeah, when I get to America, I'll like drive Uber or something. And he was like so excited. We were like, are you like, have you ever been to America? It's like, no. And we're like, are you excited to come in? He's like, it's all I've wanted for my entire life. Wow. And it's like, but he's a computer engineer. But driving a car. There's no computers in
Cuba. What's the engineering?
Driving a car in America is, but being in America is so much better for, you know, that it's like what we were talking about when we talked about the migrants coming over. Yeah. It's like working a shit ass job that none of us would ever wish on our worst enemy to have that kind of life in America.
But that is so much better than their other life.
Yeah. And that's, it's just.
And you do what you got to do as long as an honest day's pay.
Yeah. No, but then.
Which is respectable.
It's just crazy too. And then it makes you appreciate like even just being in America, let alone the situation that we're in, that we're so fortunate, but even just being here, like being behind this border.
Still nothing like America.
Yeah, for real. Even though we have all our problems.
But those problems could, if they continue.
It could.
Will cause a problem to America. And we might have to flee. And
that's why the Cuban Americans are the biggest political
in favor of not fucking it up.
Yeah, they're so politically motivated and politically minded.
Because they saw firsthand what happened.
Because they know how quickly Venezuela society can change.
Argentina, they've seen it firsthand.
Like how we view Miami and New York as these amazing cities where everyone in the world comes and wealth and extravagance and beauty and luxury. That was what Havana was. And then in 20 years, it became what it is now.
Which is nothing.
Right. And so it's like they know firsthand that that can happen. And then most of us Americans are like, nah, come on. But America will never fall. No, We're the best.
See it. We see it happening already.
Absolutely.
With everybody coming in illegally and the drugs and the crime and all, and the government, we see what's happening.
Yeah.
And no, it 100% can happen. We talked about if we have to leave, we might leave.
Right. No, it definitely could happen. It happened in Argentina, happened in Venezuela, it happened in Cuba. It's happened before.
They showed it when we drive around, they showed it that there was a Chinatown in Cuba, but it's all gone.
Right. There was a Chinatown because there was a huge influx of Chinese immigrants.
All gone.
There was so much industry there in Cuba, in Havana, that they needed immigrants to help do the work. So they had just like America.
And does not exist.
Right. So they have the arch. They have the Chinese arch to enter Chinatown, and then there's just nothing else because of the remnant of the past. And they had a
big Jewish community too. Gone.
Yep. Because the Jewish community, the reason that there were a lot of Jews in Cuba was because early 40s and 50s, during World War II and post-World War II, a lot of Jews were escaping from Russia and Germany and Poland, and their options were like our family, mom's family, their option was, let's go to Canada. Your family was like, let's go to New York, thank America.
God.
But then there were other options. Some people went to Argentina. You know, there's a lot of Jews in Argentina. Yep. But a lot of people were like, Cuba is a great place. Havana is a thriving, amazing city. Let's go there. So a lot went there. And then 10 years later, all the shit hit the fan and they had to leave again. And they all came to America again.
Yeah, no, it that's can happen bad in America. Luck. It can happen in America.
Yes, it definitely can happen.
So to wrap it up on Cuba, we liked it, right? You liked it. We had a great family time. The wedding was fucking great. Shout out to my good buddy, Weck. I highly recommend you go. I think it's worthwhile from experience. We would go back. And all the shit that we feared on this and that can't get in this, that could not have been any easier.
For real.
We toured the cigar factory, which is fucking great. Mm-hmm. We were smoking the VIP at Upman Cigars. It was great. It was a great trip.
Yeah.
It was great.
Very interesting. Very cool.
Bryce got a little food poison, we think, probably for about 24 hours last
night. I think I had a remnant of it today. I still feel, I felt nauseous all day since I woke up. Yeah. And I've, not to be TMI, but trust me, on the toilet, I have something in my stomach.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be the food.
Yeah.
And then the sleeping accommodations, we just did not get a lot of sleep.
When we were in the Airbnb, it was good. The resort was just, whatever. I don't even want to think about it.
But glad we went. I loved the trip and really enjoyed the experience. And you set up a great itinerary, Brian. So, kudos to you, brother.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
There's all this new migrant like push. Have you seen like there's no, like I been don't. This crazy I think they're saying like it's hitting a new record every single day at the Texas border of like people coming in.
Terrible.
And that all these like border patrol agents who were like going to be, yeah, not only can they not handle it, but like there's no like off time anymore. Like people were taking off for the holidays and like they're being so overrun that all like holiday time off was canceled.
Okay.
Because it's a crisis.
Right. It's a crisis. But even if it being a crisis, it's just not enough. The amount of volume of people coming in that you see the people that are in charge of Border Patrol, they're saying this, they're speaking out on the news stations. They can't do anything. And they also know that if they put them in one area, that people coming over illegally in another area purposely, that they're, you know, concentrating in one area. So they got to put the manpower there from the Border Patrol. But yet it's where the people aren't from Border Patrol that are the big concerns that we don't know about, that people are coming over illegally and with the drugs.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I mean, let's assume hypothetically is one part. Let's say if Arizona or Texas is a terrible area. That's the area we know. So they're putting all the manpower from Border Patrol in those particular areas. But there might be other areas in, let's say.
So they're too highly concentrated and they're getting in where the concentrations aren't.
Correct. And that's where you're getting the smuggling drugs and the big concern. And it's a big fucking concern, and it's millions and millions and millions of people coming in over illegally. And I don't know,
yes.
And we just have to stop it. We're not. I don't know why we don't bring in the fucking armed forces.
Because the federal government wants it.
I know why from a political standpoint, but that would resolve these.
Problems. Sure, but sure, yeah. It would, but they don't want to resolve the problem.
But these people can't vote.
Yeah, I don't think it's for voting. We brought that up a while ago. I don't think it's for voting. I think. Part of it is to like destabilize, probably. And then another part of it is probably just like free labor. You know, they probably just want people to work.
Where are they all going, these people?
To work.
No, but where
they need to work.
Yeah, but they can't they need get money. Paid legally.
Yeah, but that's never been a problem.
No, but it doesn't benefit the government.
That's
in that
only
way.
Just starting
doesn't,
to be a problem.
It doesn't benefit the government in any capacity. If you pay someone illegally, there's no Social Security withholding, there's no FICA withholding.
Oh yeah, but the government is probably going to use their labor too.
I don't know about that.
Like there was
that's
this
not
thing,
the reason to let him
DeSantis
in.
DeSantis passed this new bill like a few months ago, or I don't know if he passed it, but it was proposed about. Do I have it here? Basically, it was like it turns out that like most of the buildings in Miami. All these new high rises that are going up in the last 5 years, and now they were all the majority of the workers were illegal immigrants that were working on these
legal
buildings.
Legal or illegal?
Illegal.
Okay.
Illegal immigrants were the majority.
Well, we know that they all use someone else's social security number. This happens in the food industry as well.
Right. But then it's like, but don't you think like that? So a building that costs, I don't know, I'm just going to make up a number, 300 million. How much does a building cost, right?
Okay.
A building that costs 300 million to build. Because it's illegal labor, so it's super cheap. If now you're getting like Americans to build it, now it's $500 million to build.
That's true. But I don't
so
think
now
that's
you
like
buying your
it.
Now you buying your condo, you want to buy a condo at $1 million. Good luck finding a condo at $1 million when the building is now double the price to build.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the way the government.
But DeSantis just made that illegal like a few months ago, and there was a huge backlash. The real estate lobby, the building lobby were all like, nope, like we can't do this. And then the problem is that's going to trickle down to us.
Of course it does.
Because now things are like, so Miami, all these buildings were half built by cheap labor. And people were like, oh, I'm going to lock in a price of cheap. Now it's like, now they're going to double in price. And then that prices people out. And then that makes it so only high-end stores can afford to buy the bottom area. You know, it's like, it prices everyone out and then it just makes the city more inflated, more expensive. And it's like, yeah, sure. On the one hand, yes, it's good. Now we're only having legal people do it. But on the other hand, it's like, I like the idea of having things that are well-priced. Already we're feeling like things are way
they're
too expensive.
They're still going to have illegal people doing the work, but I don't think that's why they're getting them in, they're letting them in.
So why do you think?
I don't
know. But that's an answer. I proposed a theory.
It is an answer. I don't think that's the reason. I don't know the reason. I just don't understand
what else would it be?
I think they want to break down our society and our community.
But why
they want the drugs? It doesn't make sense.
But that doesn't make sense. That one doesn't make sense to me because like the Democrats who are running the federal government, let's say they want to destabilize, like they're the ones in power. Why would they want to destabilize? Because every day know. That it destabilizes turns more people away from that.
I agree, but they're letting so many people illegally, which, by the way, are mostly men in their 20s and 40s. I don't get it. I truly don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't have an answer for it because there's no logical reason why they would not stop them, all this influx of people coming in. It makes no sense to me.
It doesn't make sense. I know.
And we know it's a fucking problem. And our president and vice president hadn't even been to the fucking borders.
And then this week, there were all these reports from people on Twitter who were at airports and they were getting on flights and they were like showing videos. It was like developing this whole thing. They were like showing videos of people waiting to like check in for the flight. And it was all like migrants. Like clearly migrants. Like you watch these videos and it's not like it's a few black guys. It's like these people clearly like have nothing and are extremely poor and are all from different countries.
How are they foreign flights?
And so they're all going on these flights from Texas to New York, to DC, to Chicago. Yep. And so people-
And they drop something and what do they do?
People started investigating it and it turns out a lot of them were like still had their processing papers in their hand. Right, like people were taking pictures. This happened all this week. It was like, it's still happening. I bet if you go to an airport in Texas, you'll experience it yourself. Because people were videoing it left and right. I can bring up some of them if you want. People were sitting there, migrants were sitting there with their processing papers from the border in their lap still. Their names on the tickets were no name given.
Unbelievable.
These were on tickets. And then...
So they can fly without a name, but we can't unless
we have ID. That's it. So
they have no ID,
right?
No name, and they can fly,
right? And not only can they fly, but they're being put on these planes for free. So that's what I don't understand. There's something going on. It was American and Delta.
It makes no sense, Ronnie.
Those were the confirmed flights. Delta and American flights were flying these migrants for free, and they knew that they were migrants because one of the people on Twitter like. Confronted one of the Delta employees and they were like what they admitted yeah, these are migrants. They knew that what they were doing and they're flying them north into the country.
Maybe Tech said we don't want them, get them out of our fucking state. That's what they're probably doing. They're probably paying for it to charter the family to get the fuck out of here.
I think the Texas government would be very open about that if they were doing that because they were very open about busing them out.
That's true, but what's you can't. We can't fly with an ID as American citizens, but not illegals who are here, we know nothing about, can fly without ID and without a name.
There's got to be a reason. And no, like the thing is, no one wants it. Left or right.
Why are they doing it?
People on the left in New York, they proposed that the migrants should sleep, like that people should give up rooms in their homes to people or like... amnesty. Like,
could you imagine that?
And not a single person was like, yeah. Everyone was like, fuck no. So no one wants it. Dude, left, right, a fucking liberal, conservative.
In, unless they're coming from Israel to fuck, I would not let them in. Could you imagine these fucking people coming in from
Israel? Well, the one, immigrants from Israel aren't allowed in anymore.
That's right, that's the irony.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Something is up.
I don't know what it is.
Something is going on. Because it's not like there have always been illegal immigrants.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
And they've always been coming in.
But this is a crisis.
And they've always been doing work. But there's something else going on.
The magnitude is unbelievable.
I mean, maybe it is to vote. Maybe they'll be able to vote. I don't know.
You know, they'll make a law passing that anyone here can vote.
I don't think that would be, but maybe they can, like you said, they assume social security numbers and stuff. Why couldn't they just?
I don't
care. How do you vote? What do you need to vote?
I don't know.
You need to be a citizen.
Don't you have an address and you have to register?
I don't think you need to have an address. What if you're a homeless person? You can still vote.
Where do they get their... How do they register?
Register... What,
I mean, do they have even ID? You have to have ID to vote.
Yeah, but they're trying to do away with that.
They've been trying
to do away with that for a while.
I think the voting should be very simple. You have a voter registration card and you have to show your card, period. Like a driver's license, that's it. Like a passport. You can't leave the country without a passport. You can't vote without a voter registration card.
So voter ID was like a big thing. And people on the left are like, this should not be allowed because it's like racist. That was like a whole
thing.
Why
is it racist?
Because like black people don't have as easy access of getting government documents than white people. Something like that.
Okay. Then so black people can't leave the country?
But
well, you have a no, like passport.
Voter ID racist. Let's see what the... Here, the ACLU.
Oh, God.
Oppose voter ID legislation fact sheet. Unnecessarily strict voter identification laws are part of an ongoing strategy to roll back decades of progress on voting rights. 36 states have some sort of identification requirements at the polls. Not all of voter ID requirements are discriminatory or burdensome to voters, but 7 states have strict photo ID laws under which voters must present one of a set of limited forms of government-issued ID in order to cast a ballot. No exceptions. Overly burdensome photo ID laws deprive many voters of their right to vote, reduce participation, and stand in direct opposition to our country's trend of including more Americans in the democratic process. Many Americans don't have one of the forms of government-issued ID that state laws list as acceptable for voting. These voters are just disproportionately low-income, racial and ethnic minorities, elderly, and people with disabilities. Such voters cannot afford or cannot obtain the underlying documents that are prerequisite to obtaining government-issued ID. So that's the argument, but I don't agree with that argument, though. Like,
and you can't vote.
I don't understand. Yeah, it's not easy for me to get a passport either. It's a pain in the fucking ass. I have to go to the...
Or a driver's license.
Right, I have to go to the DMV. Right. I have to wait 8 hours. It's annoying as hell. But I did it. But
if you want to vote, you want to travel outside the country, you want to drive a car, you want to go hunting, there's certain requirements.
But hunting isn't an inalienable right that you have protected by the Constitution. Voting is. That's the bedrock of our country, is that every American has the right to vote. So it's a little different. I think every American should be able to vote.
Yeah, but you do have the right to vote. You just have to get the...
But you have to do all these things.
But you have to get voted. That's okay. Just like you have to be 18. But
what if you can't get these things? So I guess if I'm trying to see it from their shoes, right, but then you're deprived of your rights.
No, but why can't you get those things?
I'm trying to see...
If you could show you less income... I'm sorry for interrupting. You could show you have a certain minimum income, then you get, you know, they can waive the fee.
No, it's not a fee. It's like... I think their argument is when me and you go to the DMV, right? It's like a 4-hour ordeal.
But if they're unemployed, they can afford to do it.
Sure, but that's not, I don't think what I was saying is, I think they're saying some people cannot afford to do that. Some people cannot afford to take a day off and go, what are they going to do with their 4 children? How are they going to take a day off of work? They can't afford to do that. Right, so these, and then that, now that's preventing them from exercising a fundamental American right.
Okay, but
I think that's the idea behind it, right? Like, if you go to the DMV, and mom can stay home and watch us, it's not a problem. What if you had 3 young children? I guess you take them with you, but now you have to take off work.
Okay.
What if you can't afford to make your rent?
What if you had to go to the hospital and the same thing? Should the doctor come to you? I mean, it's just part of life. These are just things.
No,
just
but
part of
but.
Life. I understand what you're saying, but it's just sometimes
things... But the idea is voting is fundamental.
So how are they going to vote?
You shouldn't need to cross hurdles to do something that you are guaranteed as an American. It's in the Constitution. You're guaranteed. Should you have to do hurdles to have the freedom of speech? No, you just have it.
But,
right? That's the idea.
But you have the right to vote.
It's not a privilege, it's a right.
But
hunting is a privilege.
Okay, but if you go ahead and...
Driving's a privilege.
If you go ahead and someone that could mail in their vote, okay, well...
Okay, but that's a different issue.
No, I'm just saying. So
okay, but what?
There could be... Well, if you let me fucking speak my sentence, you don't understand what I'm talking about. If you have a mail-in because the person says, I can't take off time from work, whatever, is based on your theory... Well, how do we know that it's that person that actually doing the voting?
If you have if you have a voter ID, how do we know that you're mailing it in? No one's checking your ID.
No, but
you're
I'm saying go to vote and you show your voter ID.
Right, but what if? But the vote,
it's either you go in person and vote or you don't go in person and vote, and there's another methodology, right? So if a person can't afford to take off from work or leave with the kids, whatever, then if that person doesn't have to physically go in to vote. And they can vote through another means, through the mail, whatever it is. And my point is that creates fraud because how do you...
So we should do away with that? But like, we've done that forever. When I was in college, I voted in Florida elections up in Boston. I didn't fly back to vote.
I think...
And I was okay with it. We were all okay with it.
No, but I think that people, if you're going to vote, should go in, unless you have extenuating circumstances and maybe provide proof of ID, whatever it is. copyright. I don't know. I'm just thinking there's got to be a better way. I understand it's everyone's right to vote, but it's not necessarily a hurdle. If you got, I don't know. I think people should have to go in person to vote. That's just my own opinion. That's my own opinion.
I think that's a hurdle, especially like
it is.
Like you're saying, we live in 2024 in a week. Like, come on, I have to go walk into a place. I don't have to do that anything else. You do DocuSign all the fucking time.
I get it, but
you transfer millions without ever even speaking to people. All just email and signing online.
You're right, but
this one thing you have to go in because that's the only way we can not detect fraud.
But there's a lot of fraud in the other things. That when you do transfer money, there's a lot of fraud that goes on.
But you do it even knowing the fraud exists.
I understand that. I'm just saying that it's not a. There needs to be a better system in place because there is a lot of fraud with regards to fake votes that are going out there, and you don't know it's like a passport. People have the right to travel outside the country, but you have to have a passport.
Right, but there's plenty of fraud in passports, but we're not like, we have to revamp the passport thing.
No, but it's much harder. The committing fraud is much harder with the passport, is much harder. There's always going to be fraud. You can't do away with having where it's complete bar, that complete void of no fraud whatsoever. However,
right.
It's I don't know. It's, you know, there's so many different fact patterns or obstacles. What if someone doesn't have a home? If someone's not in the country, how do they vote? I agree. There's got to be an easier way considering today's day and age of technology. I'm sure there's a way.
But nothing would be.
And what if they don't have a computer?
Nothing would be trusted. No matter the system that was developed.
But there are.
It would never be agreed upon to be like, this is good.
True, but.
Never.
But there are some things that are better than others, right? We're always going to have people that are unhappy. You're always going to have people that are going to oppose. You're going to have people that are going to find issues with it.
But even like the idea of voting in person, to me, always was an insane idea.
Why?
Because it's just seven randos sitting in the church locally here that are just going, yep, one for this, one for this. It's like, that's ripe for fraud. No, way more than the machines.
No, actually, it's a little bit different because what happens is they're verifying the ID and then they give you the thing.
Oh, no, that's not what machine. I mean.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but the machines are current. 10 years ago, you just poked a hole and then some random person sitting in the back counting was like,
"You're right.
One for Bush.
You're
one
right.
for Gore." Like they could have easily just said, one for Bush, instead of
100%.
Easily. So it's like,
right, but I'm talking about today's day and age.
Voting in person is so.
No, but that's.
But with the machines, it's different.
I'm talking about the machines. That was.
I know, but no one back then. That people are only worried about voter fraud now. Back 20 years ago, I mean, I might be wrong. I might be ignorant about this, but I don't think. I mean, you could probably attest to it more. I don't think people gave a shit about that or even thought about it.
I agree with you.
But it was way more ripe for fraud back then.
It was, but I think with social media, what's going on today, it's a little bit different era.
What does social media have to do with that?
I think the fact that the news and the hype and all the issues that transpired and out there in the forefront, I think is making people think, and it's
making people think there's more fraud or be more cognizant of it, you're saying?
That there's.
Or it's making more fraud happen.
I think it's making people aware of fraud.
Yeah, right. It definitely could be bringing it more to the attention.
Surface. And again, I think that it should be some sort of unified system in place.
But then that's the thing. And I agree with you. I had the idea years ago, I said it on here, we should all just vote on our government app on our phone. And you just do yes or no, and it all goes directly to one source and it's counted instantly, right? Instead of humans.
Why do you think they don't do that?
Because you wouldn't believe it. But that's what, like you said, it should all be a central thing.
You put your social number in and various information about you.
No, I know, but you would say, right, like let's say that government app happened. First of all, you'd be like, China could hack into it and change our votes. Because people were saying that about the machines. What were the machines called?
It was a whole big thing.
Yeah, but people were like, these machines can be hacked. So that, first of all, that's the biggest thing, right? Like, they can hack into our phones already. Why couldn't they hack into our government app?
There are definitely theories that are concerns on, I guess,
but
any
then
avenue.
The next level beneath that is, let's say we have that app and we all vote. And Biden wins in a landslide like he did in this one. You would be like, that's not true. They fudged numbers. You would just think that
is a human nature component. I agree.
No matter what happens, people from now on will always believe that it was achieved by fraud.
Correct. But knowing, keeping that in mind, there still has to be some sort of system. I don't know what it is that is better than what currently is that could be somewhat unified that minimizes, right? We're always going to have fraud. Just like, for example, They make the credit cards now with the chip in it. They make an iPhone with the electronic SIM so people can't steal your SIM card. There still will always be fraud because people that are fraudulent and connivers and scumbags will always try to be one step ahead.
And it's always a race.
Right, but you can minimize things. And considering how people are smart, you would think they would come up with something that would be unified and minimize the exposure, knowing there is always a possibility of fraud.
Yeah. I don't think they have a good answer.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Dominion. Sorry. That was the name of the voting machines, Dominion. Right.
I know, I thought it was with a D.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
There isn't an answer.
I don't know. Yeah. But you would think
it would be great if
think they would have one.
It's just basic that there's too many of us. That's what it is. If we were smaller, then a government app could be more achievable.
Because then you could also print
like a log and someone could audit it easily, right? Like if you just saw everyone's vote, you could easily audit that. It's so hard to audit our current elections because everyone, I know we argued about this in the other episode, but everyone does do it elections differently in federal government. Like Florida,
that's
we have different rules.
They keep it unified.
Yeah, but we have different rules.
And a company to monitor it.
But then the problem is, who the fuck is this third party company? I don't trust them. What, another private company is going to get involved in our public elections?
Just the software or something. I don't know.
But that was the problem with Dominion too. People were like, what if they built a back door into the voting machines? You know, if they had investors from China.
I get it.
Like,
no
one's ever going to believe.
You don't know. You don't know. I know there's always skepticism with everything. But again, not to beat a dead horse, there still has to be something. People are smart. Collectively, they can collaborate. I think that there is still got to be a system that minimize. No, nothing's foolproof. That's just that goes without saying. But to minimize it. But we'll see. We'll have to wait a year from now and see what happens. It's less than a year.
No.
January?
November,
less than a year. It's this end of December.
Oh my God, yeah, I guess
that's
so.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow, all things right. are going to get interesting.
Do we have a fatherly advice or no?
We'll just end it.
All right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. No. Go ahead. All right, so everybody, next time you'll hear from us, well, actually, I hope you had a good Christmas because this will come out after Christmas. No, Christmas Day.
This comes out.
Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day.
So. Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody, and I hope you have a great time with your family. Hope you got the gifts that you wanted and that you enjoy the time off and just reflect on your prior 2023 and only good things to 2024. Ronnie, I love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
Take care, buddy.
You're joking, right?
Well, I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to be optimistic about that.
Well, I guess you're too young to be a little pessimistic like me.
The fucking things I see out there, people are stupid.